This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How we doing today on this Tuesday? It is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. BamaCentral.com. Everybody hanging out with us in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios right off McFarland Boulevard, watching us on the Facebook, on the Twitters, on the YouTubes, the Bama Central YouTube channel, the Bama Central Facebook page, my own Twitter at JoeGaither6. You can find me on any social media machine at JoeGaither6. You can also listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. Going to have a little fun today. Going to have a little fun today with our friend Derek Daniel and Mason Woods. You can call Derek Daniel at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. I saw Red walking into work, so I know he's up there waiting to take your phone call right now. Reese and Victoria, I'm sure, will be there as well. I just missed them. Red and I were just coincidentally in the parking lot together, so he's definitely there. I'm sure Reese and Victoria are up there as well. They'd love to talk to you about your insurance. Call them 205-758-3391. And, of course, we are here. It's Tuesday. Mason Woods is back from war at Home Depot, supporting the family, making the money. How was the weekend, Mason Woods? You follow him at MAWoods_. Been talking to some recruits. I see you, big guy. Love what you're doing. How we doing? How was the weekend?
Yeah, good weekend. You know, Alabama picked up 2 wins. I couldn't really complain there. Got to watch more basketball. So, again, can't complain. Like you said, they have been able to get through with some of these 2026, 2027, 2028 prospects. So we're getting things moving on the recruiting coverage. So, overall, pretty good weekend.
I'm really proud of what you're doing there. I know that is not an easy lane to carve. And if anybody who doesn't, people think, oh, you can just call Jimmy Joe. Well, 17-year-olds, they don't want to talk to strangers on the phone.
You don't have a very, very good return rate, you know, but I'm extremely grateful to the ones that do get back to me. I will ride anybody that gets back to me. I will ride the story. So if you are interested in having getting your name out there a little bit as a recruit, please talk to me.
There we go. Mason Woods at MAWoods_ for those stories. He's writing primarily, obviously, Alabama, but Alabama, Missouri, Boston College, and Vanderbilt. So if you're interested in future athletes for those schools, Mason Woods is doing all kinds of work. And my theory is, as you continue to carve that lane, those little Billies will love to talk to you. I think that if you look at your other rivals on the other sites covering recruiting, I think that they're having an easy time getting little Billies to talk to them, because lots of little Billies have talked to them in the past. But I bet you they had a really challenging time at the very start.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. You know, I was able to have the kind of the first like extended correspondence.
Great.
You know, with the kid from Boston, the Boston College target I talked to yesterday, the running back Amari Glover. So, I had talked to him last week a little bit before he was getting ready to visit, and then talked to him again yesterday after his visit this weekend. So it was nice. You know, it's good to get to talk to him.
That's good. A little two-way action. That man, you're doing it, and I'm proud of you. I'm real proud of you. I'm happy for you. Okay, what are we going to do today? Well, we can start right there, Everett Osmer, with women's basketball. So Mason Woods is a recruiting expert. Jeez, Mason can do it all. Oh, I thought I misread that. I thought the comment was about Sarah Ashley. That sheesh in my head with Sarah. Yeah, Mason can do it all. Do you see why we don't let him go here? I want to start. We're going to do two or three different things today. We're going to get Mason's reaction to the first two rounds since he missed that yesterday with Theo. We are going to talk about Alabama's women's game yesterday just a little bit with the Maryland Terrapins. If you didn't watch it, that's okay. This isn't going to be a straight recap. We'll just kind of talk about where the women's basketball program is. And then lastly, I want to finish by debating the depth chart, the Alabama football depth chart. We're going to have Katie Windham and Will Miller over at the Malmore Athletic Facility here in about 2 hours. They're going to be talking to some players. We're not quite sure who they're going to get yet, but surely some veterans are going to talk to them. There's going to be some storylines coming out. I want to know, you know, I've seen my colleagues. Here's my two deep. And Mason, I don't even know if it's a worthwhile exercise, because I think it's such a given. But maybe it is, maybe it's not. So that's why that's what's brought me to want to debate the depth chart, to look at the 2D to see if, is this even a discussion anywhere? I mean, I'm quarterback, duh. We're there on quarterback, even though I'm kind of not. But there's a lot of places on the depth chart, I guess, that have some question marks, or maybe not a lot. I mean, what is a lot? A lot is subjective. We'll let you decide if a lot of places are up for grabs or not. There are some places up for grabs. We'll let you determine if that's a few, a lot, a couple, how many places are up for grabs for Alabama football. So let's do all that right here in the Derry Daniels State Farm Studios. We are also proudly presented by Warren Tire and Auto. That have been a Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple since 1961. They're in their third generation of family ownership, right there, two locations to serve you. Russ Warren, he's got two locations. He's got location just for tires, brakes, and alignment. If you just need new tires, if you need the new brake pads, you need to get those tires rotated, go check them out on 15th Street. You can call them to set up that appointment on 15th Street at 205-759-5505. If you got other automotive needs, you got an oil change issue, engine issue, transmission issue, you can see them on University Boulevard. Anything that's not tires, brakes, and alignment related, see them on University Boulevard. You can call them on University Boulevard at 205-758-2739. Okay, Mason. Alabama beats Robert Morris. Alabama beats St. Mary's. We talked about a ton yesterday with Theo, so I'm just going to just throw several statements at you and get out of the way, okay? All right. Alabama got an easy path to the Sweet 16. Boom. All right. There's one of the statements we talked about yesterday. We talked Alabama embrace the defense on against St. Mary's. We talked about, has Cliff been actually worth the money? We've done that debate. Now Cliff in two games, are you worth the money? We talked about it yesterday. We didn't even talk about UConn and that dang SID. The UConn SID threatened to ruin someone's life on Sunday. Did you see that?
That was real.
That was definitely real.
So I saw that kind of go past my timeline, and just like my instant like radar went off of just like, okay, this is the world now. This is not real. And just kind of scrolled past it. I mean, I would love to get into that a little bit if we have time for it, because I didn't even realize.
Yeah, I'm about to open the floor all to you. Yeah, that was real. What else did we chat about? I mean, St. John's losing. I mean,
we can get into Dan Hurley as well.
So there we go. There's a few strands. You can bite on any of those or something else that you like. What are some of your takeaways from this weekend with the NCAA tournament?
We'll start with the Bama topics. I wouldn't really say that you beat Robert Morris so much as you escaped Robert Morris. That was a poor performance on pretty much every front for Alabama, you know, offensively, defensively. Not a lot of effort for really anybody on the floor, not diving for loose balls. Robert Morris just looked like they wanted it more for the majority of the game until, right, you know, at the end you throw Grant Nelson out there, save me. We got into that a little bit, though, I think, on Friday's show last week. So, The second round game against St. Mary's, I was much more impressed. That was that felt like a time where, okay, Alabama realized, all right, we played really, really bad. We need to bounce back. We need to prove to everyone that we are still the team that we, you know, were lauded as being before this season started. And I thought they did that. You were fortunate to get a very bad shooting day from St. Mary's. I think they finished the game like right around 30% or something. It was bad, but you still played really well. I found a lot of things that worked offensively. Obviously, the alley-oops were flying everywhere. Maybe like just a little too many of them, you know, but I'm not going to complain that much. I think you definitely found something with Cliff rolling to the basket like that going into this next round, too, where BYU's tallest player is only like 6'9". I think you may have something else. So we will see. Man, let's go to UConn, I guess, because that is Dan Hurley. I can't say anything.
I hate you.
Back-to-back champion. You are the back-to-back champion. But, man, I hate you. I hate him. I cannot stand him. He is impossible to root for. He just makes himself so unlikable. He is so abrasive to everyone, to people in his own circle. You saw the clip. I'm sure you saw it of him telling his assistant coach, just shut up.
Yeah.
He has got – that cannot be a – even remotely enjoyable environment to work in, to play in. Maybe I don't really get it. Maybe the players like him. There's no way his assistants like him. There's no way the people that work under him like him. It just can't be. There's no way the local media likes him. He's a very unbearable person to me. He is the Kim Mulkey of men's basketball.
Yeah, you're running, walking off the court, a place where I have stood a million, no, not a million times, about 30 times, about 20, 30 times, yeah, a handful of times during a postseason play or after an Alabama basketball game in the tunnel, watching them come back. It's usually a decent little video for my social media. Either the boys are high-fiving, hooping, and hollering, or the boys are all sad and everybody's, you know, the opposing fan base uses the comments, nah, 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 you guys think. Okay. Dan Hurley made it a story. I'm sorry. You're shouting. I hope they don't bleep you guys, Baylor. I hope the refs don't bleep you guys, Baylor, like they bleeped us. We just got bleeped, Baylor. You guys, I hope y'all don't get bleeped. The SID tells the guy, oh, you need to take this down or I will ruin your life. Says this is, he characterized it as a private conversation, as a private comment, because the reporter was standing where he wasn't supposed to be. I'm sorry. You are yelling it in the tunnel. It is not private. If you look, we're just going to take Bridgestone Arena 2 weeks ago for an example. In the back, where the players and the media and everything, kind of all the bowels of the tournament exist, it is not private. It is not private at all. It is private once you're in the locker room and they have shut the media out. Everyone is roaming those halls. Like, it is very, and of course, this is smaller because it's a tournament, but like, there are four teams that are roaming these halls with all four different media contingencies.
There's TV cameras down in there.
Exactly. It's a private moment. He exposed a private moment. It should have been, the lasting image should have been Dan, that's what the SID, the lasting image should have been Dan Hurley walking off with this, but instead, a journalist who's not in a position you're not supposed to be in, buddy, the spin is, that's my most annoying thing about media these days, is
spin zone.
What is the truth? We don't care what the truth is. We're just going to spin. And of course we're right. We're UConn and this journalist is totally wrong. And we're incredible. Dan was perfect walking off the floor. And, like, your emotion, like, look, this shouldn't even be an issue. Hurley's mad and upset after the game because they lost. And okay, he's got a couple calls in his head that he thinks they got screwed. Like, is that unusual for a coach? No. Like, he's not out there defecating in the hallway because he's that mad. No, he's not.
This is like a perfect example. This is the Barbara Streisand effect, like bringing attention to something or trying to cover something up, but then in doing so, bringing more attention to it.
Yes.
If the SID does nothing here, this is a video that makes its rounds this weekend. We've all forgotten about it by today, basically.
Yes. Because I did enjoy sending it to my UConn buddy after, you know, Dan Hurley, sore loser.
This is not news. We all know Dan Hurley is a jerk. We all know he is an abrasive coach that comes off very rude to people, that says things not everybody's supposed to say, rubs people the wrong way. So, like, him saying an offhanded comment like that is not something that we're all shocked by.
Yeah. Sure, he's in his feels.
I saw it, and I
whatever.
Was like, sounds about right.
Exactly.
Typical Dan Hurley.
In it, upset, in his feels, they'll get over it. Everybody moves on.
Sure.
But maybe I'm more sensitive because of the journalist aspect and the SID aspect.
That's ridiculous.
I've never been threatened that way by an Alabama SID. I have been, hey, you probably don't need to post that, but never like that.
It's just also for the ego of that SID to think that, like,
I'm going to ruin your life.
Get over yourself. Like, get real. Like, oh, my God. Come on, buddy.
What two national championships does to a person? Two national buddy, you didn't dribble a basketball.
Oh,
you
wow.
Sat on the team plane and you typed up game reports.
Yeah.
Oh, Klingon has a million rebounds again. Sent. Like, that's what you did. You did no dribbling. You called no recruits.
I just know the feelers are out there from the Athletic to anonymous UConn staffers. Tell us what life under Dan Hurley is like.
No, they don't care as long as he wins.
We're gonna get the long 15,000-word report of it. It's gonna be amazing.
They don't care as long as he wins.
Well, all right, the scandal will come out soon enough. There we go, and then that'll happen.
the year they don't make the tournament.
There we go.
All right, so the boys going straight from Cleveland to Newark, New Jersey, just like our friend Hunter DeCiver. I don't know if Hunter, all his stuff is collecting dust in my home. He hasn't been there. He's going to, the boys are going straight to Newark.
It's pretty close to Modi's neck of the woods.
Yeah, we like that. I'm a fan of that. Don't come back home.
Yeah, I think in this kind of situation, you don't really need to right now. I think, especially after the performance they had against St. Mary's, where it felt like everybody really locked in, just keep everybody locked in.
Yeah. So we'll get into Alabama BYU probably tomorrow and Thursday. Game is on Thursday. Actually, one aspect we can get into, Mason. Game is on Thursday. So Alabama only gets Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, 3 days rest, whereas BYU got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, four. And so they're going to be on four and a half days rest. And this is all because we're BYU. We can't play on Sunday.
Yeah.
We can't play. They say that the NCAA took this into consideration with the seeding process. I don't know how that would play out.
What seem as though they did. If they have allowed for them to get the rest advantage over other teams, you would have thought that maybe they would have scheduled them otherwise. I don't know that they could have.
Yeah, schedule them Thursday, Saturday last week, and then play them Thursday, Saturday this
week. Sure. Yeah, I don't know. Strange. You know, maybe those Mormon pockets run a little deep, and they were able to
get some
favorable treatment from the NCAA.
Yeah, we'll talk about BYU in just a little. I got to get you to address this because the Auburn fans on the Twitter, the people in my the text sphere,
Greg Burns set Alabama up for another easy tournament run. Greg Burns.
You know, last year everybody talked about Grand Canyon being
sure.
I'm sorry, Grand Canyon got Grand Canyon upset someone and gave Alabama an easier second round game. And like, I'm sorry, number three seed Wisconsin law. Oh, so that's where I am. Okay, so I'm gonna rethrow that out to you.
Oh, Greg Byrne, he set Alabama up for an easy tournament run.
Well, how do you receive that?
So we start with Robert Morris, which. Alabama was a two seed. What do you want? You know, you're going to play a bad team. It's just how the tournament works. Auburn also played a very low seeded team in the first round of the tournament. Let's go to the second round. You look at St. Mary's. This is the 26th ranked team in KenPom right now. So, I mean, better than either of the teams that Auburn played in the tournament, Louisville or Creighton.
Yeah.
Not Louisville.
Alabama State
or Creighton. And then, you know, we look at BYU as well. What have I got here? BYU 24th in KenPom. So again, better team than any of the teams that the Auburn Tigers has played in this tournament.
These people who go ahead.
No, it's just a very, I mean, it's, you know, obviously we're eating the rage bait and we're taking it and we're using it, but it's not even like good rage bait because it's very easily just, oh, well, here's a screenshot that proves this is not real. It, you know, it's not even fun. It doesn't have any room for argument here because it's objective. We have rankings here that tell you you're incorrect. It's try harder. You know, all the accounts, babysitter Bari, you know, all the Auburn fans, all the Auburn accounts, trolls out there. Just come up with a better angle because they're out there. I'm sure you can do it. I've seen y'all come up with some good ones. This is not your best work, though.
It's just exposing yourself as not knowing basketball.
Sure.
Yeah. That's what it is. You say, oh, I see this name. I don't like this name isn't North Carolina. This name isn't Duke. This name isn't Kansas. So they must be trash. Yeah. They must not be good.
Sure.
You're just telling on yourself.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's an argument with no leg to stand on. It's.
Oh, goodness. All right. So, before I move on from the first two rounds and go to the women's game, you got anything that you wanted to? I don't want to cut you off there.
Yeah, the women's game, that was tough. I didn't really get to watch it live. I saw the highlights from it. You were kind of texting me throughout, keeping me updated. unfortunate. You know, you almost got there. It would have been really, really cool for Christy Curry and them to get that victory and, you know, the secure the spot back home, basically. But it is what it is. You fought hard. Good performance there, Ashley Barker.
Good.
Great, fantastic,
incredible. SEC record in an NCAA tournament, 45 points for Miss Sarah Barker. I believe it's the fourth highest scoring output in an NCAA tournament game. Yeah, so let's go there. The ladies lose, what, 111-108 is what I wrote yesterday for BamaCentral.com in double overtime. I want to say thank you, Chris Walsh, for assigning me that game because probably wouldn't have had it on. No, that's not true. I would have had it on in the third quarter. Yeah, I would have been. Oh, whoa, we'll get back to it. But I had it on most of the game. And all right, so here, game flow is as such. Maryland and Alabama even through the first quarter. Then Maryland gets out to a 10-point lead in the second quarter, 31-21. And then Alabama just blows the doors off of them the rest of the half and goes into half. Up by three, up by two, up by four. So slim margin. They close the 10-point gap and take in a slim lead. Well, then they get up. I think they got up 17 in the third quarter. They were up 11 in the fourth. Maryland did not tie the game until zeros were on the clock. Mm-hmm. It was a real pain. And of course, they're hard charging. And Alabama, towards the end of the game, couple blown layups here. Okay, whatnot. You got Zay Green and Aaliyah Aaliyah Nye. Yeah. Zay Green, Aaliyah Nye. Is there Johnson as well? Okay, all right, sorry. Both foul out at the end of regulation. Those are basically Sarah Ashley Barker's, you know, partners in crime.
Which, golly, she was 17 of 25 from the field. That's crazy.
Right.
She was awesome.
You got people online. She blew the game because there was a couple of missed layups at the end. It's like, homie, the team is never there without her. The team is not even close without her. She went out and said, where's my Superman cape? Where's my Superwoman cape? Yeah. Where is my Wonder Woman, you know, bracelets, wristlets, you know? And she, God, it was... It was a really moving performance. I'll say that, Sarah Ashley Barker. You win, lose, or draw. You hit the you draw a foul. Okay, so they go to overtime, and Maryland immediately jumps out to a 4-point lead. And okay, you're out of gas, Alabama. It's basically done. Mm-hmm. But no, they're not done. They keep fighting. Sarah Ashley Barker stays in it, and at the end of the first overtime, she draws a foul of a 3-point shooter down three, like 1.3 seconds, like short time left. Nuts on the table just says 1, 2, 3. I'm going to make all three of them. And of course, Maryland jumped right back out in the second overtime. And you get shot towards the end. Carly Weathers missed to lose the game. I was really moved by Sarah Ashley, you know, so this is taking me to where I wanted to go to. I have been out on women's basketball and Alabama women's basketball for a couple, you know, for a while. I've always known Sarah Ashley was very, very talented, but the team doesn't win at an elite level. We'll just be honest. It's not South Carolina. It's not LSU. And so I kind of wrote them off in my brain for a couple of seasons because I thought, oh, they don't really care. They're just out there.
Kind of treading water.
Yeah, I think that Christy Curry has done a very underrated job. Mason, as I keep going on this, will you look up and see if you can find her contract? I think it's very cheap. I think that she has you've gone to the tournament now three of the last 4 years and four of the – Yeah, three of the last four and four of the last five, I think. And you've been to the second round 2 years in a row. I just wonder if it just takes this long because it was in such a horrible place, and it really was in a horrible place. I just wonder if, you know, obviously you get a little fortunate, Christy Curry, by having Sarah Ashley Barker be daughter of former quarterback and wants to go to Alabama, transfers from Georgia to Alabama. You get fortunate that the Georgia coach moves on to open up that transfer. But you recruited Essence Cody your tail off to get her. And Zay Green is a transfer, I'm pretty positive, who's coming from another school she's just developed. Carly Weathers, former Miss Tennessee basketball player of the year. She and Brandon Miller were Tennessee basketball players of the year at the same time. So where I went after last night was full of pride for the girls. They lost. But I was left with, you know what? They lost, but you could see it through the TV screen. Every single one of those players was out of gas. Every single one of those players left everything they had out there. And, okay, some bad circumstances with a missed shot or two, a call here, a call there. You know how basketball goes, bounces. But the girls maximized their own value yesterday to me. And I was very proud of that. And so all this to say is I'm getting a couple of messages, not a lot, a couple of messages saying we need to fire Christy Curry. She can't get over the hump. Can't get it. Let's break the Birmingham. If they had won that game, they're playing South Carolina in Birmingham next week. And look, guys, it just is what it is at that point. Firing Christy Curry. Go ahead, please tell me.
I've got her contract here.
Last year,
signed a 5-year extension through 2029 for $650,000 a year.
Now that's a lot of money to Mason Woods and myself. Sure. But that is chump change.
I mean, come on, that's like Greg Burns sneezes that every day.
That is nothing for a major college athletics program. Yeah. For a head coach, what's Don Staley make? What's Kim Mulkey make? What's Gino Auriemma make? Because that's the conversation here. People in my comments talking about, we need to fire Christy Curry. We need to fire her. She can't get over the hump. She's been here too long. And I'm gonna say, buddy, what is your expectation of this program? What are they making?
Mulkey's making $2.5 million a year with up to $3.7 million by the end of her contract.
I'm not very good at math, but 600 is 1.2, right? 1.8, right? 2.4, right? 3. So that is what? 1, 2, 3. That's 4 times. That's over 4 times. Kim Mulkey is getting paid. I'm bad at math. So, like, if that is not the correct math, if you're a mathematician, please jump in the comments at Joe Gaither. And so you expect her to do what? To get to a Final Four? To win an SEC? To what? Like, it's ridiculous. I think that Christy Curry squeezed every bit of juice out of this year's team, this year's women's basketball team. Yeah, could they have hosted the first two rounds? Sure. If they beat Florida in the SEC tournament? Sure. But, like, we're sitting here nitpicking. And, all right, the answer, Joe, we're going to nitpick because we're Alabama. We expect it. We expect championship. And I just ask you, are you supporting the women's basketball program enough? If you fire Christy Curry and her $600,000 salary, who are you bringing in that bridges the gap, that takes Alabama, that bridges the gap between Alabama and South Carolina, that also doesn't cost you $3.2 million.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know the current state of women's college basketball coaching carousels, but I don't think there's many options out there like that.
If you're firing Christy Curry and you're bringing in someone on par with her, just on par with her, my gut feeling, and this is totally just gut feeling, but you're going to have to pay that person 1.2.
Probably.
Double what you're paying. You are getting the family discount right now from Coach Curry. You're getting a family discount because she's been here for however long. What, 2013, right? She's been here for a hot minute. So she is giving you a discount, Alabama. And really, you're getting really great bang for your buck, in my opinion. 2013. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're getting great bang for your buck with her as far as you're finishing in the top half of the SEC. You're not an absolute joke. I mean, I'm not even Googling Auburn's record this past year. I think Auburn finished last. Pretty sure they finished last or next to last in the SEC. Like, you could be that. No, Christie's giving you a competitive product. Okay, no, it's not beating South Carolina and LSU.
Who is? I mean, right. Come on, folks. Like, come
right.
On. They are.
The issue, the furtherance of this is not just Christie's contract, but it's NIL.
Yeah.
Like, you are so lucky. You are so fortunate that Sarah Ashley Barker, I'm sure she's got a couple NIL deals, but whatever her NIL is a fraction, I'm sure, of what she's worth. Because you're getting the daggum discount with her, too. You're getting the, my daddy played at Alabama, I love Alabama, and she does. Like, I'm not saying that in any negative way, but, like, that's working in Alabama's benefit, is that, well, my coach left at Georgia, I do love Alabama, I'm coming back to Alabama, and okay, if Milo's gives me an NIL deal, I guess I'll do it. Yeah. She's on the college, the online college commercial, and I hope that she gets a little something, you know, for that, maybe. But
you're not getting that same kind of treatment from the next crop, you know, 2026 point guard that comes in.
And what's Flauge Johnson costing LSU? What are these stars at South Carolina costing them? Like, you're going to sit here and yenya about Christy Curry going out in the second round when those girls were a bounce away, literally a bounce away from being in the next round. And they're operating on just peanuts, in my opinion.
It's worth noting, I think, that the bottom of the SEC in women's basketball are all teams that were in the tournament on the men's side. So Alabama, one of the few programs that is able to do it with both teams. Folks, like, accept how impressive this is.
They're growing. They're building. Now, next year is going to be, you got to hit the transfer portal pretty hard, I think, because you're losing Sarah Ashley Barker. You're losing Aaliyah Johnson. Aaliyah Nye. Is there a senior Aaliyah Johnson? Is there an athlete Aaliyah Johnson? That's in my head. It's Aaliyah Nye. Is that totally?
I mean, there is an Aaliyah Johnson. She's a center for Stephen F. Austin.
Okay, so no, that's not. Well, I thought you were going to say something more nefarious when you look on your face. I was like, oh gosh,
what? I didn't think she was a real person. I was surprised to find out there is an Aaliyah Johnson. She's just a center for the Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks.
All right, go Lumberjacks. So, my hat's off to you, Christy Curry. The Lady Jacks. Oh, yes. They're not the Lumberjacks. My hat's off to you, Christy Curry. And my hat's really off to you, Sarah Ashley Barker. That was...
Leave it all out there. That was impressive.
Right. I'm pretty positive that was her last game. I'm not sure about COVID eligibility. I'm pretty positive that was her last game. And if that's your last game, I mean, she gave those WNBA scouts a whole lot of tape. I'll tell you that, a whole lot of tape. She was very, very impressive to me. So just a shout out to the women's team and just context. I think that what they're giving you right now is about max of what you should be expecting.
I think you're probably right. This probably is her final season. It looks like she started at Georgia in 2020, 21, and this is her fifth year of, you know, college basketball. So great college career.
Wonderful career, and really, really a privilege to watch. Every time I chatted with her, maybe 4, 5, 6 times over a couple of years, and every single time she's a yes sir, no sir type person. And I'm like, I'm not a sir. Please, I'm not a sir. And
average, she's 18-6-4 this year.
She really a class act, in my opinion. Really, 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 really top notch.
Going to be hard to replace for Christy Curry.
God, yes.
I mean, this whole team, you mentioned...
Nye is gone. Green is gone.
Yeah, Zay. Zay Green. This was her, I think I saw, 7th year of college basketball. Started at Tennessee, went to Arkansas Pine Bluff for a bit. So I think she's at Texas A&M for one season and then a season at Alabama.
Yeah, it'll be tough to rebuild, but
all the more impressive if she's able to do it and make it back to the tournament.
Exactly. So exactly. Next year's expectations, you're going to go into it be like, oh, we better go to the Sweet 16. No.
If you get to the tournament next year, it's pretty dang good.
Yeah, I think you should hope to host. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But still, I think that people's expectations are all out of whack, and it sets them up for disappointment and bad feelings. I didn't have any bad feelings watching the end of that game. Of course, I'm sitting there like, oh, I hope you win. Hope you win. Come on. And I'm typing it. I had like four stories in my one story. I had like wins in overtime, double. I had like 18 stories. It merged into one that I just was like, once it hit zero, so I was like, okay, this paragraph doesn't belong. This one does. great time. But no, my emotions as the game was winding down was just bravo, was thank you, was well done. So if your emotions were, man, you guys stink, you failed, I think your perspective could use a shift.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, especially Alabama fans, you know, we talk about how much Nick Saban spoiled them. It's hard to kind of separate expectations from sport to sport when, you know, everybody talks about football. Well, it's national title or nothing. And it's like, that's not the same across the board for every other sport. I know you like to think it is, and it sounds really nice to say that, but that is not the goal. That is not it for everyone. The men's basketball team getting to the Final Four last year was like pretty much top of the mountain. You got to get to the Final Four. That's where you're wanting to go. That is getting there. You made it to the Final Four. Obviously, you win a title. That's awesome, but you got to the Final Four. Like, you got there. Women's basketball, you made it to the second round of the tournament. That's awesome for them. Considering where they have been in recent years, where they have come from as a program to make it past the first round of the tournament, is very, very impressive. It's just you have to temper your expectations across different sports, given, you know, you have to be able to recognize where these programs just stand relative to the rest of the SEC, relative to the rest of the country.
All right, let's move off the basketball and into the football. It is spring football going and continuing.
How many days away? What, we're probably about in the into the 150s now, if I had to guess. I know I did the one for Boston College, and they were about 159, I think, as of Monday this week. So
they are at the Crimson Tide. Today is 149 days away.
Oh, we're right there. I can taste it.
Do you want Nick Pringle back at Alabama? I know he said we're done with basketball. Nick Pringle.
I don't think I'd say no, to be honest.
Davin Cosby, both back in the transfer portal.
I don't think I would say no to Nick Pringle. I like his energy.
Rylan, maybe.
Rylan, I'm more out on. And I don't, to be honest, I can't really I don't know either of these players. It just always felt like Rylan left the team with an attitude of like, I'm too good for this team. I need to go play at a bigger brand. And Nick Pringle left where it's just like, I don't quite fit what's going on here. I'm going to bounce myself out. I would be more welcome to taking a player with the attitude of a Nick Pringle, or at least the apparent attitude of a Nick Pringle, as opposed to Rylan Griffin.
I think you're right on your perception there. Let's talk about some football. Warren Tire and Auto. They've been at Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple since 1961. They're in their third generation of family ownership. Warren Tire is your go-to place for all your automotive needs in Tuscaloosa and West Alabama. They've got two great locations to serve you. For tires, brakes, and alignment, you can reach out to them on 15th Street at 205-759-5505. For all your other automotive needs, you can see them on University Boulevard. Call them at 205-758-2739. Two great locations in iconic locations in Tuscaloosa, really. The University Boulevard location is right by the hospital, so you can use that for your oil changes, your electrical issues, your transmission issues. The 15th Street location is really parallel to the stadium. You can see the stadium from the parking lot. You've got your tires, brakes, and alignment right there on 15th Street. So two great locations to serve you, to get you in and out and back on the road. Warren Tire and Auto, a proud sponsor of the Joe Gaither Show, and we appreciate them being a part of the program.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MacWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25.
Okay, Mason Woods, we're going to have, I did get a green light from Will and from Katie. They're going to handle football for us today. I'm going to go to the doctor, and that'll be fun. But I pull up our lads, our favorite website, rlads.com.
That's to what I'm looking at myself.
Right, to look at the depth chart. And I wanted to play a game. We all know quarterback is the big issue. Even though I don't think it is a big issue, Yeah, we've been there, done that. I think that this is one man's job to lose. But, okay, quarterback still. One of the spots. Look at this roster and tell me, what on the what depth chart position? We're debating the depth chart, and I don't see any places to debate other than offensively. Left guard. That's it on the offense. All right, defense, we'll go back to you. I'll get your rebuttal. But for me, defensively, I am looking at, oh my gosh, really just one spot. So you got quarterback, duh, and then it's one off left guard and one Husky. Are my debate the depth chart positions. Mason, would you open it up an opportunity for anyone else to squeeze into the starting roles? Because or do we have, what is that, 3 minus 22, 19? Do we have 19 set starters and we're looking at three others?
Yeah, I mean, looking at starters, it is very hard to potentially dethrone any of these names. You know, I'm looking at maybe some depth pieces here. The only thing that's jumping out to me at all is, you know, Arkell Enugwum there sitting behind Wilkin Formby potentially here as a tackle, but I think he's maybe more of an interior guy. I don't really know with him. He's kind of maybe a high ceiling guy. We don't really know what we have in him. So we will see maybe what you get out of him as he progresses more in the system, as he gets a little more comfortable, as they get a little more comfortable with him. And then also, I'm kind of just curious, because I was curious when they brought him in, and I'm still kind of curious, is Dre Washington, the transfer running back, where he fits into everything. I don't know if it was just a, hey, we don't love what we've seen from Daniel Hill so far, we need an extra guy back here or what, because I definitely think, without a doubt, you know, Jam's your lead guy, Richard Young's going to be maybe the guy spelling him in times. But you still need that third back to, again, spell even those two. So I'm just curious to see where he fits into things.
I think he's going to work right in that third role, be the Richard Young role from last year. And I think you went out and got him not because you didn't like Daniel Hill or A.K. Deere or Kevin Riley, but I think you look at those three and say, you guys are young.
Yeah, just not quite ready yet.
Yeah, and we want to go get a man, Drelin Washington.
Sure, I mean, you get the experience.
Old man. I just don't think that this is that interesting to me. Okay, so right here, RL Ads has Ty Simpson, Jam Miller. They've got Ty Simpson, Jam Miller, Isaiah Horton, Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard. Anybody want to argue? I will concede your argument on any quarterback. You want to say Austin Mack? You want to say Keelan Russell? Fine, sure. I concede. But of those skill guys, and then you look at tight ends, you had Josh Quavos and Jay Lindsey, Danny Lewis, Caleb Edwards. I think your tight ends are going to be just like we've seen under Coach Saban and what we saw even last year under DeBoer is, and we got five or six of them, and they're all doing stuff just in rotation. Everybody's in. It's like once you've established yourself as in the tight end rotation, and I think that that's going to be your Danny Lewis, Josh Quavos. Mm-hmm. And you got some openings
sure
behind them.
Yeah, you know, you got the two freshmen, Caleb Edwards, Marshall Pritchett. Both of them, I think, are impressive players. You got the Jay Lindsey as well. I would like to see Danny Lewis this year potentially separate himself as more of a receiving threat type of tight end. I think he has that skill set. I don't know if they are necessarily going to allow him to do that or, you know, really give him the opportunities to, because I think last season this offense didn't give the tight ends a ton of opportunities to really do that. But I don't know if that was just because you felt like you didn't have it in either of the two guys you had back there, or it was just a symptom of Kalen DeBoer's offense. So I think we will maybe see at least get a better idea this year because Danny Lewis is more of that kind of tweener type.
Excuse me. I think this offensive line is pretty set as well. Caden, Ken Proctor, nobody's going to dethrone you. No. Your backup left tackle is a big question mark, but I think you have so you have enough bodies to where, like, yes, somebody's going to be manageable. I think this left guard spot's pretty interesting. I think our lads right now has it as Cam Dewberry, senior transfer, and that's probably you're writing that in pencil. Mm-hmm. But I think Owusu Lennon is going to have something to say there. I think Owusu Lennon is a good little player, versatile enough to play guard and tackle, and this will be his third year into the program. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think that it's Olas's to lose. I do think it's close to I think it's probably 50-50. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be surprised if Olas ends up winning that job.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think you brought Cam Dewberry in for a reason.
Yes.
But also I think he is probably transferring for a reason as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know that he is a solidified, like, this is an elite talent here. I think the job is still open a little bit. But I also think to the opposite side, you maybe didn't exactly feel that way about Owusu Lennon either. He is a guy that, like you said, been here a while. I think has maybe had a similar trajectory than Wilkin Formby a little bit. Not,
yes.
Not quite on, you know, Wilkin's kind of gotten there now at this point where I think most people view him as the right tackle going into this season. Whereas Olenin is still kind of a 50-50, like we're saying. But I think, you know, a similar path where it's just kind of quietly have been in the background waiting for their turn, and maybe this is the opportunity for him to finally get it.
All right, Parker Brailsford to center. That's a duh. Yeah. Jaden Roberts, that's a duh at right guard. I think Wilkin Formby is even a duh at right tackle. I think that's a done deal. I think that he's going to continue to grow in that role, and that's going to work out well for him. So there's your offense. I don't have any questions about these starting questions. It's like, yeah, we know who we think these guys are. Sure. Look at the second line, the number two players and the number three players on this our lads. So we got to make this somewhat interesting. if all the ones are basically set, which of these two and threes is going to make an impact? Who of these two and three line guys are going to, you know, we're in November, we're in December, and this is somebody we weren't thinking of. You got Jalen Hale, Jalen Ogbakwe, Cole Adams, Rico Scott, Arian Hampton. You got all these linemen, Rock Montgomery, Gino Vandermark, Arkell Onuguam, Micah DeBose, Michael Carroll. You've got Richard Young, Draylen Washington, Daniel Hill. You've got a lot of these guys on that two line. So, who do you know? I'm not saying injury. No. Yeah. But who might be okay? This guy has said, "Coach, you're not keeping me off the field."
I think the maybe easiest answer to go with is probably one of these receivers, just given the nature of the position. You know, you have a lot of opportunities, especially the guys that aren't Jeremy or Ryan Williams. You know, in that third option, although Isaiah Horton is a good, talented transfer, I think we will see some rotation there in that third spot and give guys like Jalen Hale, guys like Cole Adams, Jalen, you know, all of those guys opportunities. So, you know, we could certainly see one of them emerge later in the season. You bring up an interesting point with offensive line because, again, you know, we don't want to talk about injuries, obviously. We don't want to project injuries. But you're not going to get out of a full football season without somebody getting hurt. So,
rolling an ankle 1 week.
You know, something's going to happen. And I think, you know, Michael Carroll on the inside, I really love him. I loved him as a prospect. I think he's a big time player. Arkell Onuguam, a guy we kind of mentioned earlier just a minute ago, someone we really don't know much about. He played at Ball State, so a little curious on why he was brought in. I think it potentially is because they see something in him. So I would maybe like to see him get into one of those roles where it's like, oh, we need you for a couple drives. Get out there, buddy, and we see what he's got. I'm gonna go with Marshall Pritchett though. I love Marshall Pritchett. Have loved him since I started covering him as a recruit. He's just a typical, just down and dirty tight end. You know, he's what you're looking for. He will get his nose in there. You know, he will hit people. He's got good hands, very wide catch radius. But I think he will be that type to just, oh, you need a, you know, you need somebody to get in there and lay a block. Oh, here, Marshall Pritchett, your guy. He seems like the type to very much just lay his body out there for the team.
I like your pick because it's off the wall. I like the pick because it's creative. but I'm going to go the exact opposite way. not creative at all, not off the wall at all, but I think Gino Vandermart might end up being your left guard if Cam Dewberry isn't who you want him to be, if Olasa Lennon isn't who you want him to be. He's like, yeah, we know Gino, veteran Gino. We're going to throw him down in there. So he'd probably be my first pick on these two to threes of who's going to make an impact. But then my second pick is definitely Rico Scott.
Oh, yeah. Love Rico Scott. And, you know, we've heard his praises from his teammates throughout the spring practice thus far. I think he is a guy we saw flashes of it last year. The one touchdown connection from my boy Austin Mack. It was against Mercer. I think it was the deep ball in the corner of the end zone. That was a beautiful pass, beautiful catch. Perfectly executed play all around from both parties there. So I'm certainly an exciting talent. I think Rico Scott probably could be one of those who, you know, who is that guy? The 60-yard touchdown. Who is this? You know.
Yeah, he looked like a really smooth athlete at Pro Day. Obviously, no pads, no defense.
Everybody looks pretty smooth.
Right. He's just running out there. But I think he might be one to watch. All right, let's go to the defensive side, unless you got any other offensive comments or notes.
I don't believe I do.
Defense, okay. I think Husky's the only place up for grabs. We're going to look at this real quick. LT Overton, Tim Keenan, James Smith playing on your defensive line. Quay Rousseau playing your Wolf. You got Justin Jefferson, Deontay Lawson playing your interior inside linebackers. Damani and Xavier Brown playing corner. Bray Hubbard and Keon Sabb playing safety. Who's playing Husky? Mr. Arlads has Deshaun Jones, which I think is probably a good pick, decent pick. I don't think that will be your pick. I think it's going to end up being Xavier Mincy. But that, like, depth chart debate, I think that's the only spot we can play depth chart debate is Husky.
Yeah, I still really like Red Morgan, too. You know, we saw him in flashes last year, and he was laying some hits. And I really liked what I saw from Red Morgan. He felt like one of those players who, you know, like I just said, Marshall Pritchett really will just not afraid to get his head in there and kind of get dirty on a play. But you're probably right. I think it probably will wind up being Xavier Mincy. But yeah, like, yeah, that's really the only spot here that it feels like there's any real competition. I mean, you look at the cornerbacks, Damani Jackson, we have talked at length. I think he is the best cornerback in the nation right now. He's probably going to be your number one cornerback in next year's class. All he's got to do is solidify it a little bit more this year. I thought he was one of the best cornerbacks in college football this past season. Keon Sabb, another guy who, when he was healthy last year, fantastic. And the your two safeties, again, like your great players have already shown things last season. All of your defensive line, a lot of veteran linebackers. It's just this team is not a whole lot of argument here on who's going to be the starters. At least to us, it does not seem like there is.
All right, so how do we get Kelby Collins on the field? Like here, the thing is, these twos and threes, I think defensively, what we saw last year is probably the Kane Womack style of just, hey, buddy, I do have two starting cornerbacks, but I have two other cornerbacks that are going to play a lot. I do have three starting defensive linemen, but I have three other defensive linemen that are going to play a lot.
And I love that method. I think it's a great way to do things. It gets everyone comfortable. It gets everyone you get everybody reps. You know, you're not just throwing guys out there for garbage time reps that at the end of the day really don't mean that much.
I think it paid off for the defense.
Yeah.
Oh, massively at the end of the year.
I think it definitely did. You know, that obviously everybody wants to point to the Oklahoma game, but that one was just throw it away. Like,
you only gave up really one bad drive. You're put on the goal line, you got pick six. Like,
so, like, he didn't even play that bad. Defense was great. I love what Kane Womack did with that. I'm going to rotate, you know, 30 guys in on this defense on a given day, whereas the Nick Saban method seemed to just be like, here's my 11 starters.
I don't trust anybody else.
You'll see.
I don't trust anyone else. I hated that.
I hated it. It was like, why do you recruit? Why do you bring these players in if you're not going to put them on the field? I get that it worked for a long time for you, Nick, but we saw it start to crack there at the end.
All right, so let's play an opposite game for the defense. Let's play, if we like these starters, which I think we do, if we like these starters, where's the weak link? If Mason Woods, offensive coordinator, rolling out week one against with Florida State, sorry, Malzahn, you got fired. Mason's hired. What's the weak link? I'm going after this defense. How?
I mean, I guess you have to look at the linebackers, maybe. You got a lot of veterans there, but my only thought process is like, you know, why aren't these guys in the NFL yet if they're so good? But that's such a ridiculous way to think because so few players do make it to the next level. Like, you can still be a very high-level college player and not even sniff the NFL. So that's a ridiculous argument or kind of a ridiculous thought process. So I, you know, kind of the similar thing with the defensive line, you know, both veteran guys, James Smith, Tim Keenan, you know, have been solid players, but have never really solidified themselves as like elite talents in college football. I don't really know.
James Smith will this year.
You're probably right. I definitely don't think you're attacking these cornerbacks. I don't think you're really going after this secondary that much. I feel pretty good about them. So I don't know where you get, you know, I guess quarterback run is your main thing. You know, you look at what worked last year against them.
Lots of misdirection. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing lots. I'm throwing lots of screens. I'm having the ball go. I'm trying to hit the ball in many different. I'm trying to manipulate Deontay Lawson, Justin Jefferson, and Deontay may not be available week one. I'm trying to manipulate those linemen. I'm trying to move Tim Keenan. I love you, Tim Keenan, but not an elite athlete. Really good, really strong player, but not an elite athlete. I would try to move him, get him moving upfield. Yeah, lots of interior runs and misdirections. Lots of who's got the football, where can I pop a screen pass.
Certainly worked against him last year.
That's such a frustrating offense to deal with because it's just like, oh, we are all over it. Ah, you're right there. There's one player.
It's the offense of a team who is hindered by things. You know, you have to use misdirection tricks and trickery to get, which, again, it, perfectly fine. It's all allowed. It's all in the rules of football. That's all cool with me. But, you know, it's an objective thing. You are not as talented, so you have to utilize misdirection and things in order to beat up on a team who is maybe more talented, a little stronger, a little bigger than you.
All right, so last week we played, which freshman wide receiver do we like more, Latsia Brooks or Derek Meadows? So this week we're playing the same game but on defense. Which freshman defensive back do you like the most, Dejon Lee, Ivan Taylor, or Chuck McDonald?
Dejon Lee is the obvious, like, flashy pick. You know, we've seen the spring practice, but you saw the one-on-one with Ryan Williams from this weekend, I think. You know, the broken up pass. I'm going to go with Ivan Taylor just because of the lineage there. Ike Taylor was a dog for the Steelers, and I have to imagine some of that has been imparted onto his son, and he is, at worst, like, half as much of a dog, which is still a bigger dog than almost anyone on campus. So I'm going to go with Ivan Taylor.
I like that pick. I will stick with the flash and go with Dejon Lee, but I like the Ivan Taylor pick because at Pro Day, Ike Taylor was there in his Steelers gear. No, I think he was trying to stand with the Steelers scouts and stuff. But, and then you may say, Joe, that's a stupid state. This is a stupid comment. But the thought that went in my brain was, how many dads are at Pro Day? At Pro Day where their son's a freshman.
It's pretty cool.
And yeah, it is cool. And you may think that's just such a dumb thing to marvel over, Joe. But I thought to myself, yeah, this guy's involved in the son's life. Yeah, it's going to be some.
I guarantee some of those conversations. Like, hey, you see him over there? You know, a couple years. You know, y'all going to be watching out. He's going to be just like me. You know, I'm sure those kind of conversations were happening. Always good to see. I mean, we talked about it, like, you know, the mama bear, Cooper Flagg's mama, a few weeks ago. Like, I always love to see parents sticking up for their kids. It just, like, hits you right in your heart and a special, you know, gets you warm and fuzzy inside.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it was a warm and fuzzy weekend. I got warm and fuzzy over Bama getting into the Sweet 16 for what, the fourth time in,
fourth
5 years.
Time in 5 years.
I got warm and fuzzy after over Alabama women going out on their sword. I mean, literally out on their sword every ounce. Sarah Ashley Barker, that might be the basketball performance of the year on campus. Sorry, man. One of y'all are going to have to step it up.
Mark Sears, I need 50 in the Elite Eight against Duke.
In a never-say-die effort. Not 50 in a we're beating the brakes off you. 50 in a I need every single point. God, Sarah Ashley Barker, well done, ma'am. Well done. Mason, anything else you got for the people as we get out of here for the day?
Ooh, I don't believe I do today. excited to see what the rest of spring practice holds for us. You know, it probably won't be a ton. I doubt we'll have any. The only real debate still standing for, I guess, quarterback, if you want to even call it a debate, is probably the only issue. The only thing we'll get any bit of light shed on, maybe. So we will see as it progresses more.
We'll talk to the football team today and Thursday, and we'll get you ready for Newark here as the week continues. We're going to get out of here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.